And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Howland. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And feel free to get online on this lovely Saturday morning. We have a couple lines open for you because the lines are starting to come in early. 860-522-9842 is the number. Real quick, yes, Dennis hosted the show while I was remote last weekend. And
sorry, guys.
No, you did a fine job. You did a fine job. But I was on the west coast of Florida after dealing with one hurricane. The second one came in. But our place didn't sustain any damage, never lost power, never lost internet.
Ooh,
crazy.
Very nice.
So we got very, very lucky. Area still took a hit, but we can count our blessings, I guess, that we got lucky and got through it fine. But we got out of there. It was made no sense to stick around. We actually left on Sunday after the show there on Saturday.
So. Oh, wow.
All right. So we're here to help you guys out, though. And as usual and customary, we have some technology news you can use. And this is really local to right here in Connecticut, but you really haven't heard much about it.
Right. So, I mean, the local stations haven't really covered it.
Not really.
Newspapers either.
What's going on in Connecticut here in Danbury specifically?
Right. Well, it seems that a couple driving a Lamborghini had it carjacked.
That's Connecticut carjacks.
Right. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
And normally carjacking is usually newsworthy, even if it's just a mention, on the news, just a sentence or two.
Yeah.
However,
yes,
there's a backstory to this.
Yeah, because this happened, like the carjacking happened when? In August? I think it was
August. Yes,
August. But then it was a little more to the story. Kind of like, where's Paul Harvey? Here's the rest of the story.
And the rest of the story is that this Lamborghini and the couple in it were carjacked because their teenage son had been involved in a very large cryptocurrency heist.
Allegedly.
Allegedly he was.
Yes.
Right. And that heist was to the tune of $243 million worth.
Right. So if you're fool enough to spend that kind of money,
right,
on Bitcoin,
assuming that somebody's willing to pay that much for the crypto coins that were stolen.
Yeah.
However, it turns out it looks like the carjackers kind of got wise to that.
Well, he did it himself. He posted it with his buddies and said, hey, look at what we did on a criminal forum.
He outed himself on a criminal forum. Yeah. So other criminals went, oop, oop,
yeah,
oop,
let's go check that out.
Let's home in on that and see if we can't take advantage.
Right. Six Floridians came up and carjacked his parents.
Yeah.
And tried to hold them ransom.
Right.
You know, and then, of course, they, I don't know what happened as far as why they released them. They probably realized, oh, my gosh, what are we doing here? But
yeah, this was another example of a gang that couldn't shoot straight, I guess.
Yeah. And of course there's the son also was, I think it was the son was actually in Miami, right? With conspicuous spending of all sorts of money down there, 19-year-old.
Yep.
So, you're bragging on a criminal forum. This is all alleged, we'll see what happens.
Right.
But you're bragging on a criminal forum. You stole $243 million in crypto. And so just so you guys are, if you're wondering how you do that, just so you know, it's pretty simple, right? This 19-year-old kid, he's not the sharpest tack in the drawer.
No.
All they did was do the same Microsoft scam that is being pulled on all of you every day.
It was a crypto form of the tech support scam where they call you up and tell you that they're going to help you with something.
Right.
So, get into your computer and we'll get in there and give you a hand.
Right. And they found, obviously, they found a whale, a target, a ding-a-ling that has a bunch of crypto coins, and went after him and just simply said, hey, we're from Google support, or we're from Gemini. Now, Gemini is with the Volser twins there, whatever they're
called. Oh, yeah, guys. That's right.
Also, that whole Gemini thing was embroiled in all sorts of fraud as well.
Oh, yes.
Hey, you guys love playing with crypto. None of us are sharing a tear for you when you get burned by it. As far as I'm concerned, it's causing more trouble than it's worth.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, these parents of the teen who probably weren't involved.
Probably.
I wouldn't think they were necessarily involved, but they're victims of a carjacking.
Yeah. Talk about, trying to give up your third kid there. Betting your third kid. It's not good. And so the guy was simply tricked into, thinking his place, hey, we're from Gemini. Your account's been, is under attack. We want to help you. And of course, it was the bad guys that are getting in. And he gave him the password, right?
Right.
And let him in, and they transferred the money, and sayonara, sweetums. So this is a great story from Krebs on Security.
Yep.
And we'll put a link up here. Brian Krebs does a great job describing what happened. And it really should be more reported here in Connecticut, because it's a pretty big story. You'd think it'd be more information out there on it from Connecticut.
But yeah, I haven't seen anything on any of the local stations or the local newspapers.
So it'll be out there for you, and you can read the whole story. And Brian does a great job describing it. And go from there.
Well, and there is a crypto-related story that has been reported in local outlets.
Yeah.
The Connecticut State Police helped a victim of a cryptocurrency scam similar to this.
Mm-hmm.
They actually recovered most of his crypto coin.
Nice. Yeah, they got all his fake money back for him?
Well, not quite all. I mean, the person lost $68,000 worth,
mm-hmm.
but the state police recovered $63,000 worth.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. And just goes to show you that the state police even are kind of, you know, they've upped their technology game if they can do things like that.
Yeah, they have a cybercrime division, I'm pretty sure.
They do. And obviously, they're effective.
Yeah. Any details as far as how the victim was scammed out of his $68,000?
All of the stories that I've read are very sparse on that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
They just were announcing that, you know, the state police were able to recover the person's money.
Yeah.
And I think the point of the state police having made that announcement is to get people to report to them when they are scammed for crypto.
Yeah.
Because I guess they're thinking that a lot of people will lose cryptocurrency to whatever.
Yeah.
Might not want to report it because they don't think that it's a real crime. Because it's crypto that was stolen, which isn't really anything.
Right.
And
it's like stealing your tulips during the great tulip
the tulip bubble
there, or they stole your Beanie Babies during the 90s and you're embarrassed to call the state police and say, "Hey, someone stole my crypto." And frankly, you should be. Go ahead and call the state police. They'll help you.
Yeah,
but
I mean, a crime's a crime, even if what's stolen is basically the emperor's new clothes.
Exactly.
So,
well, thank you, state police. We appreciate you guys and gals.
Yeah, definitely.
In other news, I try to have Karen and Bob talk about this story, but there's a couple F-bombs in it that the AI didn't take out. And also, the AI didn't even care about the verdict. So Cognizant has been deemed by a U.S. jury that they have discriminated against non-Indian workers in H-1B visa case. We've talked about these H-1B visas for quite some time.
Yep.
And a lot of the abuse of the H-1B visa system, where somehow American companies just can't find American workers. But man, oh man, you can find Indian workers, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And a U.S. jury found that the employment practices of Cognizant constitutes discriminatory conduct toward non-Indian workers in a case that started way back in 2013. And it claimed that the tech giant favored H-1B visa holders from India over local workers. So again, you're putting your kid through college, you're getting them a nice computer science degree, you're paying, I don't know, $30,000, $40,000, $60,000 a year to get them that shiny computer science degree, and your American companies that you're getting them trained up for don't want you. They want to use the H-1B visa folks from India because they're a whole lot cheaper. And so basically, you know, the U.S. Jury here found that this was something that Cognizant was doing on purpose. They were actually discriminating against local American workers and favoring South Asian workers. And again, they would even play games like make up actual jobs that didn't exist,
mm-hmm.
in order to. And of course, nobody in the federal government checks anything. So
no, of course not.
You know, if you want whatever you want, just submit the paperwork. And of course, these folks realize that that's what we're dealing with here in America. And they abuse the system, make up fake jobs, bring these folks in on H-1B visas, put them on the bench, and then Maybe if a job did come up eventually,
even if they did that much, they're essentially indentured servants. They're not even, you know, independent, sovereign workers of, you know, in control of their own destiny.
Right.
It's not really that good for them.
It's not. And it's definitely not good for American workers who, you know, basically busted their butts to get their information and their credentials up. So it's, to me, it's not surprising, and it's great they found it. They found them guilty. Now, Karen and Bob, when I had them ingest this into my AI, didn't even talk about the verdict. So you can apply. What? Yeah, you can give them multiple sources, right?
Yes, have I've them, done it.
Yeah, me too. They just ignored the verdict.
Yeah. Wow. That's not good.
I was like, well, that's not. Yeah, and of course, there's an F-bomb in the actual complaint that actually describes a quoted line that was being said to the American workers by the Cognizant managers, and they said it like it was nothing. So, Carolyn, be careful when we have our AI corner. You never know what Karen and Bob could say. we generally listen to them before you get that.
I listened to mine.
So we couldn't use their take on it because it's pretty interesting. But no surprise here to me, H-1B visas are being abused. And we really got to crack down on this. I mean, we're bringing great people from other countries, no problem. But if there are American workers here that could fit the bill first, you shouldn't be favoring that over the American worker.
Well, the whole H-1B visa program is predicated on something that isn't really true anymore.
Right.
Back when it was invented, you know, the data processing was a new field.
Right.
There literally weren't enough, you know, educated geeks, and they needed to, you know, span the globe to grab people and pull them in.
Get the best and the brightest from all over the world. Great idea.
Know, it's a field that's been alive for decades now here.
Right.
There are lots of kids coming out of school that have been educated in it.
Right.
Why not just hire them?
Right. And lots of folks are being laid off now, too, from these big companies.
Oh,
they're available. Yeah. No surprise, Cognizant was found guilty. They're going to appeal. They'll appeal, of course.
Oh,
I mean,
this
is 2024. It started back in 2013. But I'll put the link to the story. You can read it yourself. We're going to step out for a quick break. Ben, hang on. We're going to get to your call. And then a couple lines open for you. 860-522-9842. That's the number. Feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problem, comment, question, concern. We'll be right back. Yeah, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Here till 11 o'clock. Don't forget, we have our new feature. Karen and Bob from our AI corner will have some stories for you. I'm looking forward to that. See what those folks have come up with.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
And but let's get to your questions. Again, feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. But we're going to go to Ben somewhere in Connecticut. What's going on, Ben?
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
So, I have been having some internet problems. It's been going on and off. The connection is not been stable.
Yeah, so it's dropping.
Yeah, I think we have a connection to the router, but there's no internet.
All right.
And I was just wondering if you've heard of a router that would, like a router problem that would cause the internet to go on and off.
Sure.
There are a few things that can happen inside a router.
Yep.
Number one, you can have a bad DNS setting. Mm. And the router is giving out a DNS setting that isn't correct. It might be even getting a DNS setting from your internet provider that might not be right, which would usually be solved just by restarting it.
The router.
Yes. And I assume you've done that already.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to ask. I'm just saying I think you've already done that.
Yep.
Another issue that can happen is if the router itself is just not capable of handling the clients that are attached to it. How many systems do you have in your house that are using the router?
So it's, I guess, four devices.
Four.
All right.
I'm thinking, you know, 10 or 15 or more, but okay. Hmm. Four should not be stressing a regular router. Another question, how old is the router?
Hmm. Well, so I got the router recently. Actually, I got a pair. They're mesh routers, Linksys E8450.
Wait a minute. So you have two routers?
Yeah, they're mesh routers.
Oh, okay.
And,
all right.
But I'm only using one of them.
Okay, I was going to say, because you don't want two DHCP devices in your network. That can cause trouble.
So, yeah, I was just thinking today I want to try getting a router from the cable company and see if that fixes the problem.
Well, have you spoken to the cable company? Is your internet modem working okay?
We had the modem switched during the week.
Oh. So you've already tried a new modem, and same thing is happening with the old one and the new one?
Yeah.
Mm.
So one thing that we've seen a lot in our business, especially with our, you know, the commercial business that we work with, is that you could find that the cable line itself is bad. And eventually you're going to have somebody in a bucket truck come over and check to see why you're dropping. So if you've already changed out your router and you've changed out the modem, if after that you're still having dropping issues, it could be a simple cable line issue from the pole to your house or however you're getting that cable line to your home could be part of the problem.
I'm definitely thinking it's got to be on the ISP side.
Yeah, me too.
Somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's your router. I think it's, and I don't even think it's the modem. I think it's something on the other side of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because we had cable installed in August.
Oh. It's brand new, huh?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it can't be a problem.
Yeah, that doesn't rule it out.
No, unfortunately, Ben, I think you need to get them to check what they did. But
yeah,
that would be us. Get back on the horn with a cable provider and see what they'll do for you.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Ben. Yep. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Couple lines open for you. Ken in Windsor, hang on. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. All right. It is fall, and Carolyn's at the helm there.
Yeah.
We appreciate her bumper music. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. Hopefully you're not raking leaves yet. But if you are and you're listening to our little program on your headphones, we appreciate it. Let's get to your calls, though. We're going to go to Ken out there in Windsor. What's going on, Ken? Uh-oh. Ken, you there? Line two here. I don't hear any Ken. Ken doesn't exist.
Oh, no.
There you are, Ken. You're good. The button was stuck. Okay. The button was stuck. Go for it.
All right. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm interested in setting up remote desktop on my computer here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, I've read just a little bit online, and I came across something that said that you have to have a BIOS that has Wake on LAN, Wake on LAN, WOL.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also heard some people say you just can leave your computer on all the time, and other people say you can put a Wi-Fi switch on. I don't know what there's workable.
What are you trying to do? Why are you trying to do it?
Why am I trying to do it?
Yeah.
Well, I go on vacation. I'm away from the house.
Yeah.
And I have just buku data on that hard drive. And, you know, it's sort of like my personal cloud, I guess.
Yeah.
And I want to get to it. And then I have a lot of devices in the house, you know, lights and cameras and heat and, you know, thermostats and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I can run them through that computer. Sometimes otherwise I can't access them.
Really?
Yeah.
So most of those devices should have internet-based apps you could actually run on your phone, but they don't in your case?
Well, some do and some don't. Some charge a fee if you want to do it through their website rather than doing it through your own system.
Yep, okay. That's true. But also
I actually ran into a case one time where Comcast said, you got to change your password. And they would not let me change my password unless I was home at my house, because I had to be on their network, evidently. So I was away at the time, and I said, well, I got to wait till I get back. So there's sometimes you run into these things where you have to be dialing in from your local network, I guess, so they know you're legit.
Yeah, that's true. Some cloud systems, if you lock it down properly, you can lock it down to your IP. All right. So setting up remote desktop, Dennis, what do you think you should think about
what
doing?
The main thing you need to do is, number one, just leave the computer on all the time. Number two, in BIOS, what you're going to do is go into the power settings and set it so that whenever the computer gets power, let's say, you know, you've had an outage. And then all of a sudden electricity comes back on. Well, you want to have the BIOS turn the computer on as soon as it gets power. There should be a setting for that in the power settings in BIOS, okay? Number three, what you want to do is disable sleep and hibernation in Windows. Those are the those are the three things that you can do that will help yourself the most.
Okay, I know that sleep and
hibernation.
Hibernation. Okay, I could turn those off, so but the screen can still go dark and
The screen doesn't matter.
Now, I've gone into that BIOS and twice now, and I cannot find those power settings. It's an Asus computer, you know, from a laptop from, I think, 2014.
Oh, it's a laptop?
Yeah, it's a laptop.
I wonder, in the laptop, it might not even have that setting.
Yeah, or they it's got its own little Acer tool like the HPs do.
Right.
If you have any kind of Acer maintenance tool or Acer setup or help tool of some kind that deals with that, because you should be able to set a you can set a power profile in your operating system, obviously, but you need to set it at the lower level.
Yeah, it's got to be at the machine level.
BIOS level.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I checked to see if the BIOS was up to date, and, you know, they really never have changed the BIOS from the day that computer was manufactured.
Yeah, they might not have. Yeah. Not unusual. So just real quick, just so I understand, Ken. So of all the things in, that you want to remotely control, what can't you control if you don't get this configured? Like, what won't be controllable while you're on vacation?
Well, really, the biggest one was that I just have, like, I have a 1 terabyte hard drive on, or SSD on there, which I got, you know, years and years and years of everything.
Is it backed up?
And, It's backed up, and that's the other thing, is I can just carry a backup with me when I leave if I need it. And, you know, because you can get a 2 terabyte drive that's tiny. So
yeah,
but eventually I wanted to add more, but you know, the put the true a NAS on the network and just deal with that.
But, that would give
If you're retiring a laptop, or no, let's not say laptop, if you're retiring a computer, you could use that as a network storage device that you could access.
Yeah, so they're not wrong.
That was kind of my thinking, really.
Yep. No, I'm just curious as far as how far you want to go with this. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be in the BIOS, like Dennis mentioned, as far as keeping it on. And then configuring remote desktop, you're going to also need a way to connect to it. So without a static IP... that might be more trouble, too.
Definitely in your router, set a DHCP reservation for the computer. So it will always have the same IP address.
What about the public IP, though?
Yeah, you can't do anything about that, but you can sign up for dynamic DNS. And we can provide a link to that.
So we're doing a lot of things here to make this work.
I know. It sounds like.
So you now.
My son used to do this all the time from work. He would always be remoting in on his desk or his laptop. And he told me, just use Google Chrome, you know. It has it built in. No, I don't want to use Google Chrome. I want to do it.
You still need to get to the device. Yeah, if you use maybe like a tool like Log Me In or something like that, that might be a little easier to work with because you're going to go to the intermediary Log Me In site to find your system. That could be more helpful because it's not IP reliant. It's going to be like, oh, I see Ken's computer's out here. Oh, it's moved over here, but I still see a connection, so I'll let Ken in. So if you consider Log Me In, that might be an easier way to get your access. You still need to figure out how to keep your machine running. But trying to set up all these static IPs and getting all this working, I think it's be more trouble than it's worth. So I would tell you to go Log Me In on this one. If you're going to go this way.
That's just a piece of software you purchase, right?
You got to rent it monthly, right? It's a service.
It's a subscription.
Yeah, it's a service. The other idea would be to buy a NAS, and a lot of them give you the ability to connect remotely to you, right, again, through a cloud interface, which, of course, you got to make sure you securely configure. So that way you've upgraded your backup technology and your storage technology, and you've given yourself remote access. But you can't do anything with it other than access the data. You're not going to hit the operating system. So.
Yeah.
Lots of things.
Better and better all the time.
Yeah, if you really don't need to do too much remote control of your stuff while you're gone, I would say that would be the easiest way. And Log Me In, I think, is the easiest way too if you want to use your laptop. So, and I think Log Me In might give you a free trial so you can check it out.
Yeah.
All right,
Ken.
All right. Thanks so very much. I appreciate the information.
You're welcome, sir. Good luck.
Okay.
All right. Bye bye.
Take care now. Bye bye.
So yeah, configuring the old remote desktop. So before we go to a break here, I wanted to bring up this story. I think you had it too, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
Our friends at the FBI, created a cryptocurrency.
Oh,
why
really?
Not? We could do our own too.
Sure.
So it could watch it being abused.
What?
Yep. And it worked. Alleged pump and dump scammers arrested in the UK, in the US, and Portugal this week. So the FBI created its own cryptocurrency. So it could watch the suspected fraudsters use it. Just so you guys know, as far as I'm concerned, cryptocurrency is a fraud in the first place. But if you guys want to play with it, here you go. And the news of the Fed's currency, it's an Ethereum-based instrument called Next Fund AI. Right?
Next Fund.
Yeah. Somebody in the FBI said, how can we get a bunch of ding-a-lings to buy a fake coin? We're going to call it Next Fund, and we're going to use AI. Ooh, anytime you use the word AI, you're going to make a lot of money, right, guys?
Yeah, I mean, what does the AI even have? Oh, never mind.
I got a tape measure. It's called Stanley AI tape measure. That must be a much better tape measure. Appeared on Wednesday's Justice Department announcements that 18 individuals have been charged for widespread fraud and manipulation of the currency markets. So you're looking at pump and dump of cryptocurrency on a coin that was created by the feds, and they arrested 18 people. Again, I don't know how much more evidence you need, right, that this stuff is just utter garbage, right? Again, it's like the tulip thing, right? Tulip bulbs in the 1800s, right? Guys, stop it, all right? Stop buying this junk. Crypto asset promoters here, they were watching these guys. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has announced charges against 5 crypto asset promoters. So I'll put the link up here for you, but anything that says crypto, AI, and next fund seem to be all they needed to do to get this going. And you too can create your own coin. We can create our own coin.
Sure.
You know, anybody can create a coin and say it's got value. And you just got to find a greater fool to pay that value. So we'll put this link up here to this story. Good job, FBI. There's stories, too, about the CIA creating Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
So, I mean, somehow you can't find the guy who created it who has 80% of it.
Uh-huh.
It really kind of is fishy. I mean, the guy doesn't exist, you know? I mean, I think there's possibilities there that could be the case. But who knows? The FBI, in this case, did create it, and they already got the abusers. We'll put the link up there for you to read yourself. We're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. Actually, Tab, now Computer Talk with Tab has the AI corner, so we must be even more cool.
Well, yeah, we'll be definitely.
We'll be right back. And we are back. Couple lines open for you. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we will do our best to take your comments, questions, and concerns. As we wait for your calls, though, we should probably talk about a little bit about some news. You want to bring anything up there, Dennis?
Well, yeah, I got a story. It's kind of alarming.
Most of our stories are, sadly.
Well, this one a little bit more than most.
All right.
It seems that there's a scheme going around.
Yeah.
Where brand new iPhones, because the new iPhone was just released, a month ago?
Yeah.
So people are buying these new iPhone 16s.
A little faster, a little smarter.
A little bit more of whatever you got.
A little more juice.
Make yourself happy that you got the latest and greatest.
Yeah.
And people are ordering them from the carriers, and they're being shipped by FedEx, typically.
Yep.
Or maybe UPS, but it's mostly FedEx that seems to be involved. Not that FedEx themselves is involved, but it's FedEx deliveries.
Right.
What's happening is, as the FedEx driver is delivering your iPhone and then taking off to the next iPhone,
taking a picture of it and
telling you that it got delivered. Right.
Yeah.
Well, crooks are literally following them and then scooping up the iPhone almost as soon as it's delivered. As a matter of fact, in some cases, the delivery person is crossing paths with the crook.
Yeah, we see there's tons of videos on this, too, on social media.
And if you're asking how crooks can be aware of who's getting an iPhone today, it looks like they're getting the tracking numbers from somewhere inside the carrier, sending them out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's got to be a Confederate inside the company helping these guys out.
That's what the article says?
Yeah. There's no evidence that there's like a breach of their systems or something that's leaking the tracking numbers. They're being handed to somebody by someone else. So, the long and short of it is, if you're ordering an iPhone and having it delivered, make sure that you're there to pick it up as soon as it gets there. And if you can't do that, then ask for a signature requirement.
Man, gone are the days that you can put a $1,400 item sitting on your front stoop and hope it stays there.
But even the signature requirement isn't enough, because I think in some cases the crooks were actually getting there
and signing for it.
And signing for it and saying, hey, I'm the guy that ordered this.
Right. Yeah, because they don't check. I mean,
no.
Actually, nobody cares. And when you deliver it, they just, what's your name? Yep, this is Bob Smith.
Yeah.
I'll be stealing your iPhone today. Unbelievable.
But, I mean,
it is disturbing.
The signature requirement does seem to help a little bit in some cases. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Thanks for that there, Dennis.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right.
I'm happy to give you good news.
Let's go on to your calls. Our Antoinette down there in Fairfield who's called us before. What's going on, Antoinette?
Yes, how are you guys?
Good.
I need to find out if my computer was compromised.
All right.
I don't do anything but talk and text on my cell phone, and there was a message that came up, which is something that I thought I recognized because I get the email with a couple of the names in there. Mm-hmm. So I went to on the desktop to see what the website was saying. And immediately, this thing said, stop, stop, your computer's compromised, blah, 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 blah. I called Microsoft. I immediately did that, pushed the button down to erase it because I couldn't eliminate it. I rebooted.
Yeah.
I fidgeted around on the computer. Then I said, oh, let me go back and check my email again. And it came back again because I didn't think it would come back. I did it again, shut it down with the pressing the button. So the third time I came up, and when I went to the email, I did not restore. The reason why it came back again is I said restore the tabs I had already opened.
Right.
That's what you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Right. So this time I didn't do it.
Right. Good.
And it's, I've been using it, but I was wondering if anything, because it said Trojan, and I said, no.
No.
If it was a scam, or if there's something I need to be doing to the computer to make sure it wasn't compromised.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you seem to have what's called a browser hijack.
Yeah, and we see this even
a lot.
At Tab. Mm-hmm. It comes up occasionally.
Yeah.
It's coming in. What's happening is there's an advertisement on a web page. The advertisement has a payload with a script,
yeah.
JavaScript, to be precise. And when that page is loaded by the browser, it's given instructions in the script, and then it does that.
Delivers the payload.
It delivers the payload and shows you all that stuff. And
the phone number to call.
Yeah, probably. And all that crap.
Yeah.
At any rate, the solution mostly is to implement OpenDNS, because that might prevent some of those scripts from running, because they might be on known bad websites that are blocked by OpenDNS.
That's a great solution. And clearing the browser cache.
It's not 100% solution, because what a lot of these hackers will do, they'll spin up like a virtual system somewhere, like on Azure or AWS, and they'll use that to deploy the script.
Yep.
And OpenDNS hasn't caught wise to that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because they haven't seen enough of the bad behavior to know that that particular domain is no good.
Right.
So until that happens, it won't be blocked. But a lot of that will be blocked, because at some point they will be reported and they will be blocked.
Now, as far as her issue here, she can clear the browser cache. That should get
yes.
rid of it.
Clear the browser cache. Clear the browser history.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because that'll prevent you from having to reload that.
And don't open that email again.
Yeah.
No, I didn't open it, and I deleted it from my cell phone, that message.
Nice.
I believe I do have DNS. I'm not sure if it's open.
Everyone uses DNS.
But is it open DNS is the question.
It's actually a counterintuitive description of what it is, too.
Yeah, I know.
But we have links on describing how to configure open DNS on your computer. And,
okay.
That would be something you should consider trying to do, so this prevents this from happening going again. All right, Antoinette?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. So she's fine, per se, you know. She didn't have an issue there, and she didn't call the number on the screen. Never do that. That's all good news. So she's been listening to the show for a while, so she's a savvy Computer Talk with Tab listener. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and Doug, hang on. Get to your calls, but coming right back from after the news here with Morgan, we will have our new, brand new AI corner with Karen and Bob, and they'll cover a couple of stories that we found interesting, and but then we'll get to your calls as well. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com, and of course, Mike G is posting everything to our Facebook page. If you follow us over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, we'll be right back.